So I do want to confess a little bit that the week after the COVID pandemic shutdown started, we had a little bit of a crisis at our house. And perhaps you experienced this similar occurrence. Was we ran out of toilet paper. And as we had seen on Facebook and in the news, there was this nationwide shortage of toilet paper. And I was tasked by Megan to go and find some toilet paper. I went to Kroger, went to Walgreens, CVS, every place was out. And I remember this vividly, sitting at my desk, checking Facebook, and seeing a notification on Let's Talk Clinton that the Shoppers Value had some toilet paper in stock. And so I rushed over there, and I kid you not, I got the very last package of toilet paper in Clinton that week of the pandemic. The reason I still have it is once I brought it home, Megan got to feel the less than high quality of the toilet paper and said, we'll figure something else out. But it really was a dramatic time when it was clear that people were hoarding paper towels and toilet paper and bottled water, kind of like that we were concerned that they would never, ever make toilet paper ever again. And for the rest of time, we would only have what we had that week to use. Or perhaps some people thought it would become like the new currency in the post-pandemic world. You'd buy things not with cash, but with toilet paper. Months later now, it's kind of a joke about all that we went through to hoard on to stuff in those first weeks, but the reality of it is we were worried. We were afraid. We didn't know what the world was going to look like from day to day or week to week. So we hoarded. All of us did. Well, maybe not all of us, but from the looks of the store shelves, a lot of us did. So why do we hoard? Why do we store up stuff that we really maybe don't need? Well, we're afraid, legitimately, that we might run out of whatever we're hoarding. We are afraid that prices will go up, and what was $1.95 will suddenly be $10. We're afraid that when we might need it, we won't have it. And I also think that we're afraid that somebody else might get it instead of us, which is why oftentimes you go into the store not wanting something and then you notice everyone else buying cases of water and you think, okay, what do they know that I don't? You see, I think we hoard because of fear. And fear leads us to focus on our lack, to focus on what we don't have, rather than focusing on our abundance. That fear causes us to focus on ourselves rather than focus on God. And so we hoard and hold on to things. In the Bible, particularly the book of Exodus, God actually commands the people not to hoard. But the story, though, begins with a reminder of the power of fear. So I want to begin by reading a portion from the book of Exodus in the 16th chapter. Here, verses 2 and 3. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Now, just in case you've forgotten, at this point in the story, the people of God have been delivered from slavery in Egypt. But now they are afraid that they are going to die of hunger out here in the wilderness. After hundreds of years of slavery, they're just not used to freedom. And they don't yet fully trust God who has made them free. And so they complain. Their hunger leads to anger. I think there's bound to be a Hebrew word for this modern way of living. Have you ever experienced being hangry? That hunger and anger that combines to make us really unpleasant people sometimes. The people of God are hangry, and they are complaining. They are grumbling. They are crying out to Moses and Aaron, their leaders, and basically accusing them. Why did we come all the way out here to starve? Now, it's important to remember this is after the Passover. This is after God has done a mighty work to free them. This is after they've been saved by the parting of the Red Sea. It's after all of these miraculous signs of God's liberating power and God's saving might, and yet they still don't trust. They still are afraid, and in their hunger, they cry out. And God answers their complaint with a promise. Keep reading in verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. And in that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you uttered against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Now, personally, I find it a little bit funny that Moses wants to be sure the people know that when they complain against Moses, Moses isn't in charge. It's God that's in charge. But the Lord, through his servant Moses, tells the people that my promise to you is twofold. First, I will provide for you a daily provision. I will give you daily bread. And second, there will be enough for you. So much so that on the Sabbath day, you can rest. I'll give you enough extra food the day before that you don't have to work on the Sabbath. So it's a two-part promise. And the people are invited to trust the Lord. In fact, God tells them that he is going to see whether or not they actually believe him, whether or not they actually trust him. It's a bit of a test to see if the people of God are willing to trust the one who has brought them out of slavery and into liberation. And God wants to teach them a lesson. It's found a few verses later, starting in verse 16. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much as each of you needs, an omer to a person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents. The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over until the morning. But they did not listen. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. Then Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. So the Lord has set up this daily distribution of food in the form of this bread from heaven. And Moses reminds the people that they are only to gather enough for that day, and that they should not hoard any more than they needed. This is to become a new model for Israel, that if the community was to survive the wilderness, then they needed to trust God that there would always be enough, and to trust each other that no one would try to take more than they needed, that no one would try to hoard the supplies from one another, that the whole community of God, the people of Israel, they were in this thing together. They could trust God and trust one another for their daily bread. And in fact, the people of God don't quite understand what's happening. They get up that first morning and there's white stuff all over the ground. And they begin to ask, what is it? What is it? What is it? And you know what's funny? In Hebrew, the sentence, what is it, is the Hebrew phrase, manna. Manna. The people of God are literally getting up that first morning and seeing all this white stuff on the ground, and they're walking around to each other. Manna, manna, manna. What is it? What is it? What is it? Moses has to tell them, it's bread. It doesn't look like it. We know it's different, but take it in, gather it in, and you will be satisfied. This manna, this what is it? This manna is God's gift every morning. But you know what happens? Like so often in Scripture, someone immediately refuses to trust God. And they gather in more than they needed. And they discover that the next day, it's spoiled. It's gone rotten. Can't use it. And Moses reiterates that they are supposed to trust God. And whoever this is, who fortunately is, their name doesn't get listed in Scripture, they allowed their fear to still take hold, and they hoarded even after God had delivered this miracle of food. And it's quite obvious that we all sometimes suffer from that same tendency, right? That our anxiety about tomorrow, our unwillingness to trust God today, and our inability to live in the community, trusting each other, it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling reality. That when we hoard, turns out there isn't enough for everybody because we took it all and didn't share. But what we see happening here in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus is God teaching the people of Israel that they are to be a community based on trust. They are going to be a new people, a new nation, a new kingdom in which they trust that God will provide, that they trust that there will be enough for everyone, where they trust that tomorrow God will provide again, that tomorrow God will be the same God as today, and to trust that every 7 days we can stop, rest, and worship the God who gives us our daily bread. So God teaches them not to hoard, to be trusting, and to share. So I have a question for you this morning. What are you hoarding these days? What are you storing up and holding on to out of fear and anxiety? Now, before you start telling everybody what you're doing or what you're holding on to, I don't really mean the stuff, although it's probably good to clean out your closets every now and then. But are you storing up things like resentment? Are you storing up anger and guilt? Are you hoarding forgiveness? Because you think if you forgive someone, it's going to make you look weak. Are you hoarding judgment because people have made different decisions you disagree with, and you want to hold on to your feeling of rightness? You may not even realize it, but if you're feeling weighed down and burdened, it may be that your soul is full to the brim with all this stuff of life, that your soul has no more room for the one thing that will truly satisfy your hunger, the bread of heaven. Can you imagine what your life would be like? Or can you imagine what the world would be like if we allowed God to get rid of all the junk that we've been hoarding? Not just the physical stuff, but that deep spiritual stuff that we've been just kind of gathering into our life and soul. Can you imagine if we let go of all of that and allowed God to make room in our soul for the daily bread of God's love and mercy? We wouldn't have to keep a record of all the ways that people have wronged us. We wouldn't have to carry around the memories of past mistakes we've made. We wouldn't have to store up all that anger and judgment, which at the end of the day simply makes us feel horrible. We could let it go. We could allow God to enter our life and clean out those garages and storerooms of that stuff. And we could trust God that if we gave it all up, tomorrow we would be open to receive a divine gift. I actually love that the Israelites called this stuff manna. The what is it? They didn't come up with a new name. They didn't even call it bread. They kept calling it manna. They kept calling it the what is it. And in so doing, they preserved the divine mystery that this was an unexpected, unexplainable, miraculous gift of God. And there was no human word that could quite capture God's gifts. Now, later in Exodus, God does eventually allow the Israelites to keep a little bit of the manna in a jar that they could then carry with them, not to eat, but to remind them of the days that God fed them every morning. They could place it in the temple and in places of honor to remember God's divine gift. And whenever anxiety or fear would strike, whenever uncertainty about tomorrow would rear its head and threaten to disrupt our life, whenever we began to doubt how good God's promises are, they could look at the jar of manna and they would remember God. And they would remember they didn't have to hoard. And when their children asked, "What's up with that jar?" they could say, "Oh, have I got a story for you." So you know what? I think I am going to keep this unopened box of generic toilet paper. And I think I'm going to keep it for the rest of my life. To remind me that I don't have to be afraid. I can take things seriously, I can be safe and be prepared, but I don't have to be afraid. I'm going to keep it to remind me that while this has been a difficult time and a time that I never want to live in again, I'll remember that God never left us. I'm going to keep it to remind me to reflect that I don't need to put my trust in the things of this world, but only and always trust in God. And maybe one day, decades from now, one of my grandchildren will see this random package of toilet paper on my shelf and ask me, "What is it?" And I'll say to them, "Oh, have I got a story to tell you." Well, friends, I hope that you've had a good experience of worship today, and maybe even a sense of God's calling you to do a little house cleaning, maybe a little spiritual house cleaning. Get rid of some of that stuff you've been storing up. And if that's true, I'll pray for you if you pray for me. And so now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance to you and give you peace.